Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read, Ephesians chapter 2, and reading from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And especially verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul is most zealous in proclaiming the free grace of God. He wastes no time in his letter to state the origin and the end of the blessings of salvation. God hath blessed us, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And where did these blessings come from? They came from the love of God. They came from him according to the good pleasure of his will. That's the source. That is the origin of salvation, the will of God. And the end, where it is leading to, what is the object in view? It is the praise of the glory of his grace. So salvation is of grace from beginning to end. It begins in the will of God. It ends in the glory of God. And how thankful we should be for that. How encouraged we should be. It is indeed humbling to think that there is no human merit whatsoever, that we have no righteousness of our own to commend ourselves to God. But at the same time, though this doctrine is humbling, yet it is no obstacle to those who are awakened to see their horrible sinfulness and the terrible hardness of their hearts. How inviting is this truth, that sinners are saved by grace and grace alone. We do not need to be anxious about salvation because we're not good enough for heaven. No one entered into heaven because they were good enough. No one was accepted with God because they had sufficient works or merit. Only those who are forgiven enter heaven because of the grace of God, because of the blood of Christ. Therefore, there is hope for the greatest of sinners. There is hope for you and me today. And not only is salvation a gift, not only is grace and forgiveness received, but the very ability to receive it is a gift. Not only is salvation by grace, but the very means of receiving the gift is by grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, yes, it's through faith, by receiving this salvation, and that not of yourselves. Faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what a mercy it is to consider that even faith is part of that salvation, and while God gives salvation, part of the gift of salvation includes the very gift of faith. And so let us pray that we would not reject what is so freely given, offered to us freely, and pray that God would give us grace to receive his salvation. And with the Lord's help, we would consider, first of all, the fact that sinners are saved by grace. Sinners are saved by grace. And secondly, salvation is through faith and not works. We're saved by grace and saved through faith without works. And thirdly, Faith is the gift of God. Faith itself is God's gift to us. So these are the three points to consider this Sabbath morning with the Lord's help. Sinners are saved by grace, and salvation is through faith, not works, and faith itself is the gift of God. So first of all, sinners are saved by grace. Paul, in the immediate context, is informing us what God had in view in quickening sinners. When he raised them up and gave them life, what did the Lord have in view? What was his aim? Verse 7 of our chapter, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, that is the purpose of God. His aim, his object, is to show to the angels his amazing, wonderful grace in what he did through Christ in saving sinners. And so Paul now illustrates that grace. He says that God intends to show his grace to the world throughout the endless ages of eternity. And the reason is because you're saved by grace. He will show his grace because salvation is based on grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No one will boast in themselves. All glory will go to God. And so he is telling us that salvation is all of grace. By grace are ye saved. Now, what is grace? What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. A very short and simple definition, which you've all heard before. When God saves sinners, he saves them freely. When he shows them mercy, it is free. He doesn't give favor to anyone because they deserved it. The favor of God towards anyone is unmerited. They did not merit it. It is pure grace. When you think of how wretched sinners are and what they deserve, those who are saved are saved freely without any merit of their own because they have no merit. Paul is speaking of those who are saved who were walking according to the course of this world. They were doing the devil's work. They were following their own will. They were indulging their flesh, gratifying the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 3. So here they are in Satan's kingdom. They're obeying the devil. And they are under the dominion of sin. They're under the power of sin. They're at enmity against God. Their hearts are opposed to God. And how can then sinners be saved any other way than by grace? They deserve God's wrath. And for them to receive God's favor, well, it's unmerited. It must be by grace. By grace are ye saved. Only the free grace of God, from his sovereign good pleasure, can explain the salvation of anyone. Isn't that a humble doctrine? It doesn't make you feel good about yourself, does it? It wasn't meant to. All the glory is to be given to God, and yet how wonderful is that grace, that he would save poor, wretched, unlovely sinners like ourselves. And you see, that's the other side of the grace of God. The grace of God is not only opposed to merit on the part of man, but it is opposed to necessity on the part of God. In other words, God did not have to save sinners. He did not have to deliver souls from perishing in hell. God was under no obligation. Man had sinned. Man deserved his wrath. God was under no constraint to save anyone, but he freely chose to do so. And if we say that, no, God was under necessity, he had to save sinners, then it wouldn't be grace. It wouldn't be by grace. There would be a necessity, but there's no necessity. The salvation of sinners is a prerogative that God was free to exercise or not. And that is illustrating, that's showing forth the wonder of his grace, the wonder of this salvation by grace. And we read in Romans chapter 9, verses 11 and following, that when Esau and Jacob were yet in their mother's womb, neither having done any good or evil, Paul says, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It is all of God. It's according to his purpose, his pleasure. As Paul says, the good pleasure of his will, chapter 1, verse 5. So, why did God elect some to everlasting life? Why did he choose to save sinners? Because he chose to do so for his own glory. And that is the only explanation that we are given, and that is the only explanation that we can accept because of the Word of God. Salvation is of grace. And the apostle shows what is the design of salvation, what God had in view, as we've been saying in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That is the foundation of salvation. The object that God has in view is his glory. The ground of salvation, the basis, is what Christ has done. God appointing his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of sinners and sending his Son to suffer and die for them. That's the kindness of God, the kindness of God toward us through Christ Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that is the greatness of the gift of salvation. Paul, the apostle, says, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. We can measure the love of God by the gift that he was willing to give, and that is the gift of his own Son. What more could he give? Here is the greatness of his love, the love of God, for his great love wherewith he loved us, sending his Son to die for his people, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here is the amazing love of God, the amazing grace of God, the free favor of God revealed in Christ, and that Christ himself was willing to suffer and die for his people who were sinners, and pouring out his soul unto death, his lifeblood flowing from his veins as he suffered, bleeding and dying on the cross. Here is the kindness of God revealed through Christ. And it is all showing forth the grace of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. By him, God reconciled sinners to himself and thereby had mercy upon them. Because Christ suffered in their room and place, God, who is rich in mercy, bestowed his grace upon them and spared sinners and did not pour his wrath out upon sinners, because he poured out his wrath upon Christ, the Savior, his own dear Son. Here is the kindness of God. Here is the basis of all the blessings of salvation that come to us all because of the merit of Christ, because he purchased this reconciliation. God in his love, sending his Son to suffer and die for poor sinners like us. And all to the glory of his grace. It is that we, Paul says, should be to the praise of his glory. And now you ask, how can I benefit from this reconciliation? Christ died for sinners. He gives salvation. He forgives their sins. How can I participate in this blessing? How can I have a share in it? How can I benefit from this salvation? Is there something I need to do? Is there something I need to bring to God? Something that will bring me into his favor that I can enjoy this blessing? No, because salvation is by grace, salvation is a gift, and the forgiveness of sins, the blessings of salvation are freely received. And that is what Paul is saying when he says that by grace are ye saved through faith. You're saved by grace and you're saved through faith. Grace is the cause, the instrument is faith. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that brings us to the second point, which is salvation is through faith and not works. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We connect verse 9 with the first part of verse 8. The words in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast, are connected with through faith. And the words in between are parenthetical. So they come in between. We're to think of it this way. We're saved by faith and not works. Saved through faith and not works. So salvation is the gift of God by the grace of God, and it is through faith. When a sinner believes, that sinner is saved. So as we considered a few days ago at the manse, that faith is a saving grace, that it is called saving faith because it is looking to the one who saves. There's no merit in faith. Faith itself is only the instrument of salvation, to receive that salvation. And so faith saves, and the Lord Jesus says time and again, thy faith hath saved thee, because it receives the one who saves. It is the instrument of salvation. Faith receives the Savior. He is the one who died on the cross and rose again. He is the one who turned away the wrath of God. He is the one who brings us into the favor of God. It's not our faith that brings us into the favor of God. Our faith does not win the favor of God. Our faith, if we have faith, is resting upon the one who saves, the one who reconciles us to God. And so faith is the instrument of justification. Faith is the instrument of justification. Paul says we are justified by faith. He says we are saved through faith, because the sinner by faith receives the righteousness of God. Faith receives Christ, who is the righteousness of God. Faith rests upon him as the only ground of acceptance with God. So, how is a sinner accepted with God? Not by works, but through faith, trusting in the one who brings us to God, resting upon him who is the foundation of our acceptance with God. Justified by faith, saved through faith, because faith looks to the one who saves. So, if you remember the shorter catechism, what is justification? You remember the last line, which is to the point. Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Christ and his righteousness is received by faith alone, not by works. We don't bring our works to God as the basis of acceptance with God. Faith is constantly opposed to works in the Word of God. Just as grace is opposed to human merit, faith is opposed to works. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, Paul says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Going back to what Paul says in verse 7 of our chapter, his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, his kindness, what he has done for the salvation of sinners by dying on the cross for us. That's the basis. And Paul is saying, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then going down to verse 28 there in Romans chapter 3, he says that we are justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Without the deeds of the law. We are not saved by works. We're not saved by our deeds or our works in obedience to the law, but by faith. Faith resting upon Christ and his redemption, and Christ bringing us into the favor of God. So faith and works are constantly contrasted in the Bible. Faith is in opposition to works. Faith is not a work. Someone might say, well, maybe God knows that we're sinners, and he knows that we cannot obey his law. We would never be able to be saved by obeying all the Ten Commandments. So maybe God relaxes his law, and he lowers the standard for us, and he sort of meets us halfway, and so we can believe, we can do that much. And he accepts our faith in the gospel, the faith in Christ. He accepts that instead of our works in obedience to the law. So he's relaxing the law. He lowers the standard for us. And instead of our obedience to the law, he accepts our faith in Christ. That's wrong. That would be to make faith a work. That would be putting some kind of merit in our faith. And here we're doing our part. We're bringing our faith to God, and then he saves us. But that's not grace. Now, Paul is saying that it's either works or grace. In Romans chapter 11, verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You cannot mix the two. Some may say that, well, faith is the righteousness. Faith is the righteousness that we're justified by. But no, because the Bible distinguishes faith from that righteousness. Again, in Romans chapter 3, verse 22, Paul calls it the righteousness of God, which is manifested to us, revealed to us. The righteousness which is of God by faith. So this righteousness is revealed to us, and we receive it by faith. In other words, faith is not the righteousness that we're justified by. The righteousness is Christ's righteousness, which is the basis of our acceptance with God. And faith is simply resting on that one ground for forgiveness and acceptance with God. Faith is a self-emptying grace. Faith looks away from everything, including itself. Faith looks to Christ. Christ brings us to God. Christ in his righteousness brings us into the favor of God. It is through his merit, Christ's obedience, Christ's death has earned salvation for himself and his people. He is the basis of reconciling us to God and bringing us to enjoy his favor. It is by faith in Christ that we have access to God because of what Christ has done. So there is no merit in faith. When Paul says we are justified by faith, when he says here in our chapter that we are saved through faith, he's speaking about faith being the instrument of salvation. And these things are important because there are some people today who believe that their faith is the basis. I believed, therefore I'm saved. That God accepts them because they have met him halfway. That he indeed has lowered the terms of acceptance with God. God has not. The demands of the law remain unchanged. God is as holy today as he was 6,000 years ago. The only basis of acceptance with God is the work of Christ and his redemption, his precious blood, his sufferings, his death, meeting the demands of the holy law and justice of God. And a sinner by faith rests upon Christ to bring him or her into the favor of God. Now that is the means whereby we are accepted with God, saved through faith. Faith is looking to Jesus, the Savior. And he saves those who believe, yes. He doesn't save those who are running away from him. He may awaken them and by his grace turn them himself. But as long as they are going in that opposite direction to God, they're not saved. He saves by opening their eyes to see their need of him. He opens their eyes to show them the sufficiency of Christ and that he is able to save them. And so when he says to the poor sinner, thy faith has saved thee, he is saying that you're looking to me who is saving you. If you had remained closed to Christ and remained hardened against him, there would be no salvation. But through faith, you receive that salvation. And we may illustrate that by saying, as you might hear sometimes someone say, that if you eat, you'll live. But if you don't eat, you will die. But it's not the eating that keeps you alive. It's the food in your stomach that keeps you alive, that nourishes you. So faith doesn't save you in any other way than it simply receives what saves. It receives the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, nourishment for the soul. And he saves. But if on the other hand you close your soul and heart and you remain in unbelief, and you reject the Savior, then you'll not be saved. And so we are saved through faith, receiving and resting on Christ alone for salvation. Still you might say, but maybe there is something to faith. Maybe we should be commended for believing in Jesus, as if we might earn something by believing. Well, faith is a good thing. If we're not believing, then we will be lost forever. But if there was some food on the table, and you knew it was free, and you had nothing to pay for it, and you walked up to it and started helping yourself to it, would you commend yourself and say, well, I earned this food. I earned it because I'm eating it. That would be absurd. We don't earn salvation by believing. We receive a free gift. We receive the grace of God. It's given to us freely, without money, without price. Oh, to have mouths open wide to receive the free gift, that we would rest leaning upon Jesus and He bringing us to God to be accepted with Him. And so, as Paul says, we are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no ground of rejoicing in ourselves. There's nothing to brag about, nothing to boast about. I believed. Look at me. I exercise my free will. I have actually achieved salvation. That's an absurdity. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And now we might suppose that if Adam in the Garden of Eden had remained innocent and continued to obey the law of God, and he was thereby established in that state of innocence, and he received the reward, even everlasting life, we might say that he was rewarded for his works. He might have something to glory in himself in some kind of subordinate manner in giving all the glory to God, because originally it's his power that helped Adam obey. But still, it would be in that covenant arrangement, salvation by works. He might have something to glory in. But to glory now for sinners who have dishonored God, sinners who have disobeyed His law, who have no merit of themselves, for sinners to boast and to glory as if they could achieve something and win the favor of God, that is an absurdity. That is a horrible idea that must be utterly rejected. God intends to make so clear to us that no one is saved because of any merit of their own. By grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. No one will have anything to be proud of. No one will have anything to commend themselves because of their own efforts. They will come to realize if they're saved at all, it is saved by grace alone. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All glory will be given to God, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And you see, so far is faith from meriting salvation, that even faith itself is the gift of God. And that is the third point. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith itself, the means of receiving God's salvation. Faith which rests upon Christ, and Christ brings us to God. Faith, even faith itself, is God's gift to us. Now, there is a question as to what Paul is speaking of when he says it is the gift of God. Our text again, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Is Paul saying that faith is the gift of God? Or is he saying that this salvation is the gift of God? Or is he saying that both salvation and faith are the gift of God? Well, clearly from the Word of God, both are the gift of God. Both are from God's grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. At least we can say that salvation through faith is the gift of God. But if we say that salvation is the gift of God, well, Paul was already saying that when he said that salvation is the grace of God. And so that might be tautology or a needless repetition to say that it is grace and a gift. So we do lean toward the view that when Paul says it is the gift of God, he is speaking of faith itself. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And he's saying, but stop. I'm not saying that on the whole you're saved by grace, but you do have to believe. And that is something you have to bring to God and you have to do your part. He's saying, stop there. Even faith is the gift of God. That is not of yourself. Faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And then he continues and he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when he says ye are saved through faith, he contrasts faith with works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But clearly, faith is God's gift. And this goes along with what Paul has been saying already in the first chapter, when he says in verse 19, he prayed that they might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. How did you believe, Ephesians? How did you believe? You believed according to the working of his mighty power. That's God's gift, the gift of power working faith in you. You didn't believe of your own power. That's clear enough. He says, and that not of yourselves. It's nothing of yourselves. Faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And how? It is by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in the heart of a sinner, producing faith, enabling the sinner to come to an end of self, to look away from self and look only to Jesus and rest on him alone for salvation. So he is saying that there are no exceptions to this. You are saved by grace. By grace are ye saved through faith. Some would say, well, yes, it's all grace, but faith. No, even faith is of grace. It is all the gift of God. Salvation is a free gift. And it includes even the gift of faith. So, Paul is saying that salvation is of grace from beginning to end, and there is nothing in between that is of human merit. It is all God's gift. And how could it be any other way? How could a sinner be saved by something that he or she produced of themselves? The Word of God tells us plainly, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not of yourselves, Paul says, again and again, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. When you consider that sinners are hardened against God, they are determined to go their own will, as Paul says, in the times past, you walked according to the course of this world, and even according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You're following Satan's will. You're gratifying the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You're chained to your sins. Not only are you at enmity against God, but you have no perception, no understanding of who Christ is. You cannot perceive his loveliness. You have no spiritual taste. And you have no desire for him at all. And you might say, well, I'd like to learn about his teaching, his philosophy. That's it. That's all the human level. But you have no spiritual love, or desire, or spiritual perception of the beauty of Christ. And that is why salvation is of grace. It is a free gift. The Holy Spirit coming into the heart freely by Almighty grace, implanting spiritual life in the soul and enlightening the mind and showing the soul the loveliness of Christ and showing the sinner the sufficiency of Christ, the power that Christ has, the ability that Christ has to bring the sinner into the favor of God, the suitability of Christ, that he has done all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners. The Holy Spirit shows us the kindness of God toward us through Christ Jesus. Because what did Christ Jesus do? He obeyed the law that we have broken. He suffered God's wrath, which we deserve. Here is a sufficient and suitable Savior who has met all the requirements of God for the salvation of sinners. Christ has become the foundation of a sinner's acceptance with God. And the Holy Spirit shows us his attractiveness and draws us to him, that we would close with Christ, that we would embrace him, our hearts concurring with Christ as the Savior and accepting him as our personal Savior. That is the work of the Spirit. And that is the gift of God, putting faith in our hearts. Faith which looks away from self. Faith which looks away from our own works. Faith which looks away from our goodness. Faith which looks away from our privileges and our performances. Looks away from anything of our own. It looks only to Jesus Christ for acceptance with God. So, friend, salvation is a free gift. Jesus Christ is the one whom God has given, and even faith is given. Do you have faith? Well, what do you have that has not been given? And if it has been given, why do you glory as if it had not been given? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All is of him. Of him, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, of him are ye in Christ Jesus. God brought you to him. God enabled you to rest on him. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Of him and through him and to him are all things, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And so, Paul intends to show us that the reason that God saves sinners is so that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. The grace of God is abundant and rich. As John Newton said, it is amazing grace, transcends all our ideas of what favor and goodwill is, and goes beyond any words that can ever be expressed. Who can tell of all his mighty works which he hath done? So the glory is to be given to God, and humility is to be exercised by us. We do acknowledge that grace is a humbling doctrine. And it was meant to be, to humble the pride of man. And this should have effect upon those who are self-confident. Because someone might say, well, we're not saved by works. I don't have to work. I don't have to bring any righteousness to God. I'll just believe. That's easy enough. I'll just do that. As if they had the power in themselves to do that. But we have to say to such weight, salvation is of grace, and faith itself is the gift of God. Don't presume and think that you have something of yourself to muster and exercise your free will and come to God of yourself. Faith is receiving and resting upon Christ. That's true. It's really stopping doing anything. But until we realize that it is the gift of God, and we go on thinking we can do it ourselves, then we're lost. That may not be something that anyone here thinks by way of theory, because we're all taught that we are saved by grace and faith is a gift of God. But at the same time, I would ask, why are there some here today that are not taking salvation seriously? They're not earnestly seeking the Lord. And you think to yourself, well, I'll just wait till I have more time, or when things are going more easy for me, then I'll seek the Lord, then I'll believe, then I'll repent. And those secret thoughts are perhaps really telling us that you think you can do this of yourself, that when it pleases you, you'll repent of your sin, you'll come to Christ. When it pleases you, you'll be saved. But if you're really awakened to the truth, you would be earnestly seeking the Lord now. And part of that awakening may be to tell you that salvation is of grace, and you cannot just exercise your will of yourself and come to Christ any time that pleases you. The key to your heart is locked until the Holy Spirit unlocks your heart. You need grace. You need saving grace. And the fact that salvation is God's grace alone, may this shake your self-confidence and bring you to an end of yourself, and that you would cry out for mercy even now. Cry to God for mercy. But you say, this doctrine is so hard. The fact that we are saved by grace alone and even faith, and I can't do it of myself, I have no ability whatsoever, and there's nothing in me to commend myself to God. This is such a humbling doctrine. And yes, the heart of man will quarrel with it. But the reality is, if we were awakened to a sense of our real guilt before God, if we really felt how hard our hearts are, how desperately wicked we are, if we have realized that our own efforts cannot change this ongoing determination to follow a course of evil, that's the reality of our wicked, monstrous hearts, then we would welcome the sovereign grace of God that can come with overflowing mercy and break the hard and stony heart and draw us to Christ and enable us to come receiving and resting on Him alone for salvation. We would welcome, we would be amazed at the free, sovereign grace of God that is able to do this and calls us to Himself and offers grace. Grace offers Christ, who can save us and deliver us from the deadness of our hearts and deliver us from the wickedness of our hearts. And so, from that point of view, there is no reason to despair. You might say, I have no ability to believe, and I've been trying to come, and I find myself as lost as ever. And you are at the border of despair, losing all hope. Well, remember that you're trying needs to be given up, and you need to rest upon Christ and look to Him for that complete salvation, which includes the gift of strength, the exceeding working of the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Come to a complete end of yourself, despair of any self-recovery, and rest only upon Christ and His grace. Is faith the gift of God? Yes. Is it by the Holy Spirit? Yes. But the Holy Spirit is promised, and the Holy Spirit is offered. We have destroyed ourselves, but God is saying to us, in me is thy help. Help is from Him. We're the helpless ones. We're the poor and needy ones. Oh, pray for this gift of the Holy Spirit to work in us, that we might come by His grace to an end of ourselves and rest on Him alone, that Christ would bring us to God. Yes, we are still responsible. It is still our duty to endeavor to come. And though it is by the power of the Spirit, yet a sinner who believes does not always know that it is by the power of the Spirit that he or she comes. We're to look to Jesus, to come, leaning upon Him, come, depending upon His power to enable us to come, and come to the one who said, I will in no wise cast you out. And how thankful the Lord's people should be today that by the grace of God they did believe, that they came to rest upon Christ. They will ever give God the glory, not of works, lest any man should boast. And how thankful that Paul says, by grace, not you will be saved, but by grace you are saved. You possess eternal life even now. You're not on a state of trial or probation. You're not in a situation where you have to count the number of good works, and eventually you can gather them all up and bring them to God. No, you're saved now. And all the glory will be to Him, and you will show that praise that God had in view by living a life of good works. You're not saved by your works, but you're saved to good works. For we are His workmanship, and what a glorious work it is. A sinner saved by grace. We don't feel lovely in ourselves, but the Lord is working in us and making us more and more like Christ. We are His workmanship, and He will not forsake the work of His own hands. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. To walk uprightly, to walk in all the ways of new obedience, to keep His commandments. Is that not your desire, child of God, delighting to do His will? And pray that you would more and more to show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, that you would concur with the purpose of God in salvation, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Why will He show the exceeding riches of His grace? For this reason, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. May He bless His word. Let us pray.